Welcome to the show, everybody. Good show for you today. Gonna do a little intro for it. First and foremost, we started something very exciting. I actually don't know if it's too exciting, but it took a lot of work to get it done. We started a YouTube channel, which you could find. It's Bad for Business with Jerry Ferrara. That's the name of the YouTube channel. You could subscribe to that. The easiest way to find it is on our website, which is all new. We have a new website, B4BENT.com, where you could still get the podcast, as always, and you can also find this YouTube channel. In an attempt to find out what you guys are willing to sit through and watch or not, we're doing a little re-air. I did this series, which I've spoken about on the podcast before, for DirecTV. It started out as a web series for Yahoo Sports, and then it got picked up by DirecTV, where it's kind of an unscripted improv comedy about my friends and I in our fantasy football league. It stars myself, Max Greenfield, Charlie O'Connell, who's on the podcast today and who's absolutely hilarious, Kevin Christie, who we've had on in the past. Basically, almost all the people you've heard on this podcast before make appearances, so it might help to put the names with the faces. And there's some hilarious player interviews that Max Greenfield does where he literally will fly out, for example, and he runs the 40 with Devin Hester. He does the shake weight with Owen Daniels. Really, really, really funny stuff. So, yeah, go subscribe to that and continue to support us because we're just trying to entertain you. Now, on to the episode today. We have Charlie O'Connell, who many of you have heard on the Bad for Fantasy podcast. Brilliant fantasy mind, as I've said numerous times in the past. But a lot of people don't know about Charlie. You know Charlie and you know his brother Jerry O'Connell from stuff like Stand By Me and 100,000 other things. Charlie also starred in the series Sliders with his brother. Charlie also was on a season of The Bachelor, which is weird because I met Charlie post all this stuff. I didn't know the Charlie that was from The Bachelor, and it's weird. We actually have never really asks me Entourage stuff, and I never asked him Bachelor stuff. We basically found a common ground of fantasy football, and I'm warning you now, spoiler alert for this podcast, video games. That is truly where our bond was formed, and now he's one of my best friends, and he's one of the most interesting guys I know, and his outlook on life and not just fantasy football and video games, but on life is really, really unique, and you get a little taste of it in this podcast. So, I guess get to know Charlie O'Connell the way I know him, and be warned, there is heavy video game talk, specifically NBA 2K, but stay with it, because it's not just ins and outs of the video games, it's also the camaraderie that comes with the way we do it. So stick with the episode, enjoy this one, Mr. Charlie O'Connell.
Bad for Business. When's Bad for Business coming out?
You think that's a good title?
The greatest I've ever seen in my whole brain. No, I mean my whole life.
Hi, it's Dan Patrick. It's time for another edition of Bad for Business Podcast with my buddy, Jerry Farrar.
All right, joining me right now on the Bad for Business Podcast. I'm very happy this guy's in town because he's not always in LA anymore. One of my good friends, Mr. Charlie O'Connell, and also now one of the founding members of the Fantasy Football Podcast, which we just taped. How do you feel like it went, Charles?
The fantasy football, although we don't have to get into it, and it hasn't even played yet, so I don't know how I did. So I guess we'll put a footnote in that and get back to it.
That's right.
But thanks for having me on the show.
Was that your first ever podcast?
Yeah, that was my first ever podcast.
Ever. You would think that a guy like yourself might have... You know, podcasts haven't really been around all that long. But you have radio experience, right?
Oh, Dan Patrick Show. Definitely. I did a bit of radio, and then when I did The Bachelor, I went on a circuit of radio for that thing and things like that.
All right. Well, I think we should tell our audience how we met. But we're going to talk about The Bachelor because I just can't help myself. I have questions, and I think our audience has questions.
This might be the first time that we've ever talked about it.
We've had a little bit every now and then. I've had like a couple of questions here or there about like how stage stuff was, but we've never had an in-depth conversation. And what season were you on The Bachelor? Season 2?
I think I was season 8.
season. There's been 40. They were on like what? Bachelor season 40.
With Bachelor and Bachelorette, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but 40 wouldn't be a bad call. 30. I don't know. There's a lot of us.
All right. Well, let's go back. We're gonna get to the Bachelor. I promise you, everybody listening. But Charlie and I met, and we kind of, I think we may have, I don't know if we've actually met before this
we
one
met
night.
We met before that at a Joseph Abood,
which is a suit company. Joseph Abood. I don't know if many of you wear Joseph Abood. He's a designer.
I just remember
suits.
We were both waiting for our car.
And what did we get fitted for suits?
Yeah, they were giving away suits.
And so we went to get a free suit.
And you were on Entourage. I think it was like the first year, and I was doing
so
the
So I was a 42 short suit back like then. I was probably a 42 short.
You probably don't have that suit in the closet anymore.
You know what I do? It's never been altered. It's never been tailored. It has the tags on it still. I still have that suit. All right, so we met briefly there, but that was probably like a, hey, what's up? Wait for your car.
That's it.
So, and not to continually talk about fantasy football, but we started a fantasy football league called the Gentlemen's League, probably now goes back to 7 years ago. Yeah, I guess it was maybe 2008, 6 years ago.
I guess what it was. And I want to say my brother got me into that league. I wasn't into fantasy football. It was the first time I touched a fantasy football anything.
Our connection is a good friend of mine who I kind of grew up with out here. You've also become friends with Max Greenfield. We know Matt. We talk about Max on the show. We're going to get him on here one day. Max from New Girl. So Max knows Charlie, and then he knows
Max
your brother
knows
Jerry.
My brother Jerry, who then told me to come to it, and it was like, hey, you know, we're going to do this fantasy football
You've
thing
never done it at this point.
I didn't know anything about it. It seemed dorky to me. You know, I'm a huge video game player.
We're going to get
like
to that.
I like football, but I've never done, like, fantasy anything. I didn't think I had time for it, and I didn't think I'd enjoy it.
So I also got the same invite, and I had already known a couple of the guys who were going to be in the league. I'd met your brother, Jerry, maybe similar, like once or twice.
You know what it was? I was absolutely like, I'm like illiterate and I was computer,
well, you don't love
as opposed
computers.
To computer savvy. I was computer not savvy then. I've come a long, long way. And so back then, like just for instance, like it all has to do with like spelling and things. I'm dyslexic. I can't spell. So like if you were a girl and you were like back then and you were like texted me, I'd have to say things to you like, no, texting's stupid. Because like I couldn't say to you like, hey, in phones, spell check hasn't been invented yet, so I really can't text.
You were still on that like three letters per number.
Yeah, exactly. I had a razor.
Can you think about how we texted like that back then with three letters per
you
number?
You think about how you did it. I know how I did it.
You would think it might be easier though for you because like people only really wrote.
All I called. All I did is call people.
You know, it doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Well, we're going to get into that too. That'd actually be a good topic to tackle with you because often on this show, and I know you've listened to a couple of them, but like we talk about just how like the whole dating game and how it's different from at least like when I, you know, was a kid remembering like waiting for a girl to call my house or having to call a girl's house. We're not even talking about cell phones. We're talking about houses. And like when the mom picked up or the dad picked up, I changed my voice. If my brother was on the phone, I thought a girl was calling, we'd get into a knockout brawl.
Oh, see, I love those days. It's like now there's like texting and all these things that I'm unequipped for.
Well, here's what I'll say, okay? Charlie and I, we do text.
Yeah.
We do text. Well, you have mastered, though, where you say you're not the best speller, you don't love texting, you have mastered the emoji, and you don't do the emoji talk in like the annoying like teenage girl way. Like you actually have succinct sentences that make sense, and I could actually, it's like a picture book.
It
is what
easier
it is.
For me to use an emoji than it is to spell the word.
But it's basically a picture book. Like I know when you want to play video games, like you'll literally give me the controller emoji with like a clock and like a thumbs up, meaning like what time do you want to play? Mm-hmm. To me, that means what time you want to play. And I'll just write back 8, and I just show up.
Done.
All right, we got sidetracked. Let's go back. So Max starts this fantasy league called the Gentleman's League. Charlie's a part of it. His brother Jerry's a part of it. I'm a part of it and some of our other friends. I show up. The draft is at Max's house. And I've done fantasy a million times at this point, but this seemed like a league that I thought I would be okay in. And Charlie has his book, and Jerry has his book, and we're drafting, and it's going well, and we're having fun, and we're already saying, all right, this is going to be a fun league. And then I go outside to smoke a cigarette. I was smoking cigarettes back then, and we're taking a little break, and Charlie's out there smoking. You're out there having a Marlboro Red.
Yes.
And
there's pizza, and we're outside in the balcony because you couldn't smoke in the house. Which I guess
Max's
houses,
wife's rules.
Most houses don't have cigarettes. in them except for mine. And I overheard you saying that you had the Golden Cross.
Yes. And what we mean by that is now we're back in 09 or it's either 08 or 09. So this is in the heyday of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1. And this is really in the hate. I mean, Call of Duty had already become famous for its multiplayer, but Call of Duty Modern Warfare is where they mastered. Wouldn't you say multiplayer
it was, one of the
was mastered?
Multiplayer games ever, ever.
Mastered. I mean, that board, when you played Headquarters and you played Shipment, remember Shipment?
Oh, Shipment was great. And I'm a domination guy through and through.
That's what we showed up to play. So that Golden Cross that Charlie's referring
which
to.
Which means
is,
that you prestige 10 times. And what that is that you get up to like level 52, I think it was back then. And then you'd have to give away all your stuff again.
Start over.
And start from the beginning.
It is the highest honor in online Call of Duty players. And, you know, it took a while to get. You had a log probably like five actual days of playing
days.
Time. So we're talking well over 100 hours of playing time. So that means you had hours. So I don't know who I said it to out there. I remember
saying. You
definitely
didn't say it to me.
No, because you were like off. At this point, you were still maybe a little, not antisocial, but you were feeling out the group.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not like an actor, like.
You don't network. And by the way, one of my least favorite words ever is networking. Don't ever fucking tell me, let's go to this party because there's great networking.
I'm
definitely
not a networker.
You're not a schmoozer.
No, but I want to tell you, when I heard
you
that
talk
you,
about, you like talking about things you like talking about.
The first person that had the Golden Cross that I had actually met.
In the flesh.
And I had to roll up and be like, all of a sudden, like, hey, you smoke. Hey, that's cool. I smoke too. Hey, I heard you play Call of Duty. You have the Golden Cross?
And for those of you who can't see Charlie's face, he kind of made the face just now that he made back then, which was there's just the ever hint of just awe. Like, looked at me like, oh, wow, you got the Golden Cross. Like, your eyes lit up when you asked me
it's
back
Hall of
then.
Fame stuff back then.
Yeah.
I mean, in video game history, in that game.
Yeah, and I guess you could say there a friendship was born.
Oh, yeah, you'd say, I mean, I think the two things you asked is like, I think, or the two things I asked was.
Xbox or
you
PlayStation.
The Golden Cross,
or you, yeah.
And then, what's your kill-death ratio? Those are the two things that people asked in that game.
My kill-death ratio at that point was not that impressive because I was going, I prided myself on winning. There's two types of Modern Warfare players, and I'm sure, and I still play Call of Duty.
There's snipers, which I am not.
There's snipers, there's, and especially Domination and Headquarters are the kind of games where, you know, you can really rack up kills quick.
Yeah, but you got to get your hands dirty and get the flag.
You can also die quick. So there's kill death people, meaning like, obviously, it's exactly what it sounds like. You have more kills than deaths, which means you're very cautious when you play because you don't want to ruin this ratio.
I was 2.593.
Then there's guys like me. I just wanted to win. Some people would sacrifice the win of the game to keep their kill death intact. I was not one of those guys. I would die 15 times in a row to protect a flag or a headquarters. That's how my kill-death ratio was barely at one.
Needless to say, we got along fantastically online.
Well, I went home that night. And those days were filled with just cigarettes and Call of Duty. That was my life. That's what I did. If I wasn't working, I was home playing Call of Duty. I turned my Xbox on, and I already had the friend request. And I won't give out your gamer tag on the air. But I already had the friend request. I accepted it. And then I kind of crept on your rankings.
Yeah,
I looked at
as you do.
And your stats held up. I'm like, all right, this guy could play. And then back then, you were also part of a group, like a clan. Like
yeah,
you were
yeah,
associated.
I was growing.
With a couple of. I had like a bunch of my boys back in Brooklyn. We rolled deep together.
Yeah.
At a time, like at a moment's notice, we literally just have like a whistle and people just start showing up in games. And I remember that first time we played. And that's it. It was history after that.
Oh, what? And then next time, when are we playing? When are we playing? When are we playing? When are we playing?
And then, lo and behold, you got your Golden Cross.
I got my Golden Cross.
And then you surpassed me after that.
And then I'd also say in World of War, which was the second one that came out.
You killed me.
I was 105th in domination.
Globally.
Globally.
That's worldwide.
That is worldwide.
I'm stealing a quote. And, we're going to, this gentleman's league that we speak to, so I know I'm going all over the place with this episode, and we're going to get back to the video games because I'm going somewhere. So that Gentleman's League fantasy football league that we had, which went really well, we had a lot of fun. I think you might have won the first year.
In fantasy football?
No, you didn't.
No.
I remember what it was.
Because the computer knocked me out.
Yes, I remember. You did not win. But the next year, Max and I We had such a good group, and there are some actors in the league, and there's comedian. We had a good eclectic group. We sold it as a little mini web series to Yahoo Sports, and we began to film our league and our kind of outtakes. And that's also where our bond got tighter, because you were kind of a breakout, because that's the year you won, I think.
Yeah, I think it was the year after. I think we did 1 year, like whatever, and then we did that,
Well, yeah, we ended up selling the Yahoo show, which we did for a season, and Yahoo, you know, took a chance on nothing. We basically pitched them nothing, and they gave us a shot. The series turned out well, and then we sold it to DirecTV. Our buddy Chris Long over there, who
was great fun, and he's also a huge Call of Duty fan.
Big Call of Duty guy. So Charlie and him actually hit it off, and we actually got a lot more money to shoot this show. We stepped up the look. I'm going to re-air, basically starting in about a week from now when our website's done. I'm going to re-air all the Gentleman's League episodes from the DirecTV show with Max,
which was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. We have a lot of great people in there who have gone on to do some great things. And there is Call of Duty in there, just like you would expect. Charlie, in his main episode, is playing Call of Duty against Willis McGahee of the then Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, it was super exciting. And getting to talk, I can talk Xbox with anybody. That's my favorite thing to.
Our friendship was born there. We logged easily a couple of hundred hours of Call of Duty, but then something else happened in our video game friendship. We stumbled upon a game, and we played Madden online here or there, you and I. And Madden for me is always great for like the first 3 or 4 weeks of the NFL season, and I can't keep up.
And it's better. You can't play next to each other because you can see the playbook.
It's not the kind of game
that,
like,
if you're a gamer, you know that you can't play NFL next to each other because you see the playbook.
You play online or you play your own little season. Yeah. That's just the way it is. But Madden's a great game. I always look forward to Madden. But where we really redefined the video game world, and we like to think that we created this.
I'd like to know if anyone else is doing it, because I think that we do it special.
I've talked to a few people who've done it, but what they literally like do it once. They have not done it like as a law of life.
No, we could call it like you got 2 days for you doing nothing? Well, then that's what we're doing.
And look, I give you really the ownership of it. I guess you could say I'm the co-creator, but I'm definitely your assistant.
It takes two. You can't do it alone. It's not exciting.
That being said, I'm definitely your assistant. What Charlie and I do is, I'm sure all of you listening are familiar with NBA 2K. Now we're going back to, we probably started this around 2K12 maybe, or 13
I'd say 12.
12. Right around the time when NBA 2K started releasing like the old Hall of Fame legends.
As soon as they started releasing them.
Where you could literally play as, you know,
Magic, Worthy, Larry Bird.
Bird, Jordan.
Stockton.
Just all the great, Dominique Wilkins, Sean Kemp, Shaq.
When young Kobe came in,
So what Charlie figured out, I remember getting a call like, you want to play NBA 2K? And I'm like, yeah, but I was in the middle of my own league at home. And I'm like, let's play online. He's like, nah, why don't you come over? We'll play next to each other. I'm like, is it fun that way? He's like, yeah, it's pretty fun. Come over. And I went to your house, both chain smoking. You could smoke in Charlie's house. Your dog Baxter was there in the background. And we played like a couple of regular, like I was the Knicks, you were maybe the Clippers, regular games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. Great time. It's nice to play next to someone else. But then you hit me with the thing that changed my life.
We'd move right into 8-team playoffs. We'd have the teams, the computer would set up 6 teams, and we'd have the other 2 teams that we just have a fantasy draft with all the greatest. We'd pick 32, it'd be 8 teams, yep, is what we'd pick, and then we'd have a draft with all the greatest players in the NBA.
Yes.
Of past and present.
So yeah, it's basically called fantasy mode in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick a team on, like, we do each conference sometimes. I mean, it's gone on to,
we meet in the finals, we meet in the first round, whatever it
we
is.
We basically draft a team, okay, and then we simulate the entire regular season with the hopes of both of our teams making it to the playoffs. It's weird. We could have just played exhibition mode in a draft, but when you actually simulate and then you get to the place, you get all the stats.
You get the stats.
And we love looking at stats. And sometimes the ratings even will adjust. Like if a guy's playing well.
Oh, yeah.
You get to see the awards.
You pick a season on how many losses you have, how many wins you have, who's the player of the game, who's the sixth man of the year.
I mean, we've gone as far. Now, the problem with that is when you simulate a whole season like that, sometimes you make the playoffs and I don't. So it could take a... Sometimes between the draft and simulating the season, it could take over an hour to set it up just the way we want
it. And sometimes it takes 2 minutes and it's like lightning and there we are and we're sitting right next to each other.
But the goal is to have a five-game series with the teams we drafted. So to give you a for instance, I've had teams where I've had Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing wouldn't win for you for like a year. I remember that you got a ring with him once.
I played 10 different times where I drafted Patrick Ewing. And similar to his real career, I could never win the big game with Patrick Ewing. But to actually have a game where you're playing with like Michael Jordan from 1991 versus like LeBron from last year is pretty phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I was deadly with Scottie Pippen because I'm a Steeler.
Scottie Pippen, and that's the thing, like, they really did a great job. 2K did a great job with the players' attributes.
Oh, defense, offense, block shots.
The style is so close to how they really played. Every now and then there's exceptions to rule, like Larry Bird, who obviously is one of the greatest players of all time.
He's just got a weird release.
Who's a dead-eye shooter from so many spots. And in the game, he's A-plus in every shooting category. Close, far, three...
His release, and with Magic, they had it too. Magic was always a hard release.
These guys sometimes, like, their release is so much like it was in real life that they have a funky video game release. So I'm like the worst shooter in the world with Larry Bird. And there's something so frustrating about having possibly the greatest shooter ever.
Yeah. And you can shoot.
And he's like
with,
a media. Yeah, and I'm knocking down shots with Trevor Ariza's shooting at a better percentage.
Exactly. But that was how our friendship began.
We're getting very close. Xbox One kind of took out the fantasy draft, but now the new NBA 2K is set to come out in another, I think, like another...
2 weeks, 3 weeks,
three weeks to a month.
Whatever it is, when it comes out, I'm sure we'll be talking about it.
But now you're spending a lot of time in New York. So, Charlie, you were born and raised in New York, correct?
Born and raised in New York City, went to school in New York, and then moved out here right after graduating NYU.
What were you about? How old were you when you moved out here?
21.
21. So you've been out in LA then for a similar...
I'm 39.
Similar to me. I've been out here since I was 19. I've been here for 15 years. But, you know, you have family still. You know, they're bi-coastal. Your parents are in New York, LA. You go back to New York. And then you discovered this passion, which has now turned into a career for you in a way, and seeing the happiness that it brings you. But you were like a full-time fisherman.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're jumping around, but
to me, I know we're all over the place. But the point was, is you're not going to be here when the new game comes out.
That's what he's getting at. Yeah, I'm not going to be here when the new game comes out. But when we both get back down, Jerry, I promise that you're my favorite person to play with, and we will be playing. But the thing was, is that, you know, like I've got a brother who's an actor. Name's Jerry. We talked about him, Jerry O'Connell, and right now he's got two kids, he's got a family and all that, and I have a girlfriend, but other than that, I have a girlfriend, I have a dog, she has a dog, and that's the family. But when we met, I was fishing, and the thing was, about 3 or 4 years ago, I started working on a dragger in Montauk because a friend of mine was working on it, and he was staying with me, and he said, "Do you want to come on it a day?" And I had no idea at that point that it would turn into 6 months of my year, but basically I've become a fisherman in Montauk for about 6 months a year.
And it was like a slow burn. Like, I remember when, and I swear to God, I remember this because I go by video game play. Like, my measure of time with you, my calendar is based around like when games come out and when we're going to get to play. And like, I know that we always play around Easter.
Oh, yeah, and now that we play next to each other, it's not the same playing apart.
No, it's just different. Like, we'll always do it, and it's fun. Like, it's like a check-in
like
with your boy.
It's like a catch-up.
It's 100%. We're talking on the headphones while we're playing.
Yeah, there's
no intensity at all.
I mean, I used to set up his side with, like, I'd get you your knots. I'd get you, remember, I'd have a little chair for you. Your chair, I had my chair.
Let's set the stage.
For two seasons, you were in that chair. Then we moved chairs in one fight. That was like, that chair's bad luck. I don't know what it was.
We're going to set the stage and give you a little insight. And look, this is either going to be the most listened to podcast of all time or the least. Because the odds are, if you don't play video games, you've turned it off.
I set the stage on the backside of The Bachelor. I was dating a girl from The Bachelor. We dated for 5 years. I broke up with her. I at that point, we lived together. Somehow, we broke up, which was fine. But the most important thing there was, as soon as she left, I lit a cigarette in my house, and I bought a big screen TV.
And life changed.
And then all of a sudden, thus beginning the video game career that was in that living room that we have spent so many hours in.
So before the breakup, you were not nearly that much of a video game player. Well, I mean, I know
room,
you were.
I think that was off limits. I think a lot of guys that live with girls would understand, like, the living room ends up being more of a living room than a game
room. You need a man cave or a man room.
My living room is the biggest TV I can afford.
It like barely fit. It's like it takes up the whole living room.
And there's a couch in there, but since she left, there were two chairs pushed back, and all we did is sit in chairs in front of the couch. I don't even know if the couch is ever used.
I've never sat on that couch. I think you actually have a quote in the Gentleman's League where you're talking about your TV on the show, and you're like, I think it's a 60-inch or 70-inch, whatever it is, but I sit here, so it's gotta be like 100-inch.
Well, I mean, I'm sitting like 4 inches from it.
Your nose is almost touching the TV. It got to a point where you would actually shop for my favorite snack, just so we didn't, because we knew we weren't gonna leave the house.
Oh, it was always nice to leave it there for you, you know?
I just got a weird email about some iCloud protection. We're not, all right, sorry, that just scared me for a second. Yeah, literally, I would come over, and the chairs would already be up, and I had my own little personal table with planters, assorted peanuts and almonds. There was a time where it was like close to Halloween, where you had all your Halloween candy out. And again, it was easy when I was smoking, because I would smoke right in that living room
with
you.
We had to take a break when you stopped.
I quit smoking now 2.5 years ago, and it was such an associated thing with video games. Like, I'd go to Charlie's house.
With me and video games.
With Charlie and video games. I'd have a pack of smokes, and we'd sit there, and I'd smoke the whole pack of cigarettes.
We smoked the same brand, too. So
same
just,
brand,
I mean,
one after another. And we didn't even necessarily smoke. We'd just leave them burning most of the time while we're playing. But, like, and then we'd always have to go outside and break down the game and smoke. But let's... I'm going to turn the floor over to you because I think you deserve this moment of talking about my temper while playing video games.
Oh, definitely. When it comes to video games, we have two completely different things. I every once in a while I'll blow up. I'll say that, but I am a cool customer who normally does not get angry. Would you agree?
I've in the 3+ years we've been doing this 2K fantasy drafting, I've only seen you blow up probably 4 times. When I say blow up, I'm talking while you're playing, you're like, in this motherfucking Roy Hibbert. Like, Roy Hibbert's cost you an emotional breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it, Hibbert. Fucking make a... Like, you threw something.
Oh, when I break down, I break down. You're absolutely right.
But if I had to describe you normally...
We have neighbors across the street from us that know when we're playing because it sounds like there is a full-on fight brawl going on in our house because all there is cursing and screaming. Jerry's famous quotes are, you've got a fucking horseshoe up your ass. You've got a horseshoe up your ass. And then the other thing he does, if I'm hot... And the thing is, you go on streaks. You know, on you're hot, I'm hot, you win, I win. But then he also makes me have to agree with him on how lucky I am with the computer assistance.
Because you do something that's so...
Jerry is a computer assistance. It is never me that is doing it when I am winning. Jerry is convinced that it's computer assistance that is guiding his loss every time. And I must agree or we're getting close to a blow up.
Because two things on what you just said. One... There is artificial intelligence, meaning...
But it's always out to get you.
When you play the game, you control one player at a time. That's a fact. Everybody knows that.
20%.
If you don't play video games out there in NBA 2K, you only control one player at a time. So every now and then, there are players who you are not controlling who make plays. That is artificial intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. And there are just times where the artificial intelligence is so radically uneven, where it's flowing.
How much better in that game did we get when we started sitting next to each other? Because before
insane.
That, I used to pick off steals, and you thought I was being one guy when I was another, remember?
Yeah, but here's why I think you're passive-aggressive, okay?
Oh, definitely.
This is why you're a passive-aggressive motherfucker.
You can just say, this is why I am,
so,
that's true.
I will accept the all-angry team guy role. I am on the all-angry team. I accept it. I know it, and I'm always blaming something for something. You are on the all passive aggressive team, meaning a play will happen where Charlie had nothing to do with it, and I'll say, fuck it, artificial intelligence, what a bunch of bullshit. And Charlie won't say a word. And I'll say, you mean to tell me, Charlie, that you think that was a good play that you did? He's like, I don't know. I just got the ball.
I don't even remember the play. I don't know what you're talking about.
Or you'd say, I just got the ball.
Just don't know.
So you mean to tell me, Charlie, that my guy's wide open and I can't make a three with Larry Bird, but you're wide open with, I don't know, some idiot who's making a three that doesn't deserve to be, and that's not artificial intelligence?
Novak. Novak was one of my favorite players.
Well, you would hit shots with Novak from half court, but I'm trying to get a rise out of you, something to say, I'm playing good, Jerry, fuck you. You won't even say it. You just go, I don't know.
It's, I don't remember.
Swinging my way. It's so passive aggressive. It's not even, it's ridiculous.
He's already getting worked up right now. He wants me to agree right now, and I still won't.
The no smoking thing, when I finally quit smoking, we hadn't really played because I guess maybe you were out of town or whatever, but when we were finally ready to play, I was only like a month into no smoking, and I showed up to your place. And it was just already, I wasn't having a hard time yet, but that was my meltdown. Like, and you as being a good friend, like, you didn't even smoke.
Well, no. You got to support people. Like
you
that
really,
I get it.
You didn't even say, will it bother you if I smoke? You just didn't even mention the word. So we're playing. And of course, artificial intelligence is kicking my ass. And normally this would be a moment where I'd light a cigarette, and I'm not doing that. And I don't even think I screamed. I just think I almost had like a tear in my eye. I'm like, Charlie, I got to go. I can't play.
Yeah.
I can't play.
It was either go or have a cigarette, and that was probably one of your biggest moments into getting 2.5
well,
years.
Well, to get past that was epic, and then I had to take what? How long did we take off from playing?
I don't know, but when we got back into it, it was.
Got back into it. I've discovered that I could just chew on some toothpicks, which helped me out, yep. And I have to have a sweet available to me, some kind of sugary thing, and now I'm good. Now we could actually play like normal adults.
That's it. That's our basketball history and gaming, which is. It's been great. I think we game better than most.
I don't know if we could cover anything else on NBA 2K, but I guess we could pencil in a Christmas matchup for sure.
Oh, yeah. We could definitely, when it comes back out, we'll definitely let people know.
You have the edge on me because I have not fully soaked into Xbox One.
We've never added up who had the edge on who.
I got to imagine.
I'm sure you have to imagine that.
I got to imagine.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that I have the edge. I'm pretty sure I got the edge.
It's not fair to say, I think I'm positive I do, but
I'm pretty sure you're back doing fantasy. We got you on the fantasy podcast. Do you feel we won't get into the details of fantasy, but do you feel good to be doing fantasy football again?
It's so good to be back into fantasy football, but no, it's the first thing we haven't seen it yet, and it's my armpits still haven't stopped sweating from it. You know,
from that
it's
podcast like, yeah, we just yeah, did yeah. where we drafted basically on the show.
Yeah, my team got laughed at, as they normally do in the beginning. All mad geniuses get laughed at before before the stats come in.
Hey, a lot of people laughed at Einstein, I'm
sure.
That's
what I'm saying.
A lot of people.
You know, when they were calling the world flat, and I just see fantasy football as the world round.
All right. Are we allowed to talk about The Bachelor?
Enough time
has passed.
I mean, no, if we want to talk. I mean, I guess one thing you wanted to say first is what I did is I graduated college.
Yes, that's right? Where we were going. I got sidetracked.
So I graduated NYU, and believe me, I had very little ambition. I might have a little more now, but I was modeling in New York and hardly doing that and bartending, and my plans were going to go to Japan and model.
That's what you wanted. That was your goal at that point.
Yeah. That's as far as I thought about it. And my mom was like, "Well, you got to go visit your brother in L.A. before you go."
And Jerry's been out here for a while.
Oh yeah, Jerry's been acting a lot more than I have ever since he was little, and he was doing a TV show called Sliders at that time out here.
One of my favorite. Let me point out. I don't think for one second when I wasn't waiting for my car outside the Joseph Abboud Suits that I didn't clock you. Not that, you know, not from the back. I clocked the fact that you, fuck it, we were on Sliders.
Right.
Great show growing up. I got to find that show.
When we read the Joseph Abboud, I did not clock. Clock.
Clock.
Your golden cross.
No, you did not look at me and say, "Oh, that guy's got one." I did know
that that was the kid on Entourage, but but it did not impress me like a Golden Cross. Had I known, I wish they had pins for that. I would have wore around the pin.
Some kind of non-religiously offensive Golden Cross.
She said you got to go visit your brother in Los Angeles, and next thing you know, I'm out here and I'm on a TV show called Sliders that my brother had gotten me the part for, and I remember. I mean, I was not prepared for working every day. I was, believe me.
Every day, those 5 a.m. call times.
No, it's like a blessed thing, you know, being on a TV show.
Yeah.
Working every day, 5 days a week. And all of a sudden, it's sort of like I just all of a sudden came right into it. And I didn't know anything about it. And I had to do like interviews for, like, I remember doing interviews to it. And they were like.
Like so, press for the show.
Oh, yeah. And they'd grab their pen and their pad.
How old are you at this point? You're 20, 21. 21?
21. We're shooting at
kid. It's crazy.
We're shooting at the greatest studio where they got all the rides.
Universal.
We're shooting at Universal. I love Universal.
It's great lot to shoot on, I imagine.
Oh, and the first one to come
Backlot tour.
Backlot. We're shooting like at Back to the Future. You know, like where Back to the Future was filmed. All of a sudden, I'm shooting there, and there's a trailer there with like my name on it, which is absurd, And you know, like that's just, and I'm doing interviews and they're saying like, so you got the part because your brother. And I was like, well, I didn't know how to respond to that because the answer is yes. And my brother's listening to one of the things and he walks over and he was like, oh, no. We had a worldwide search for Colin Mallory. That's who my brother's played on, brother. And Charlie actually wore a disguise. He was like, Charlie wore a disguise.
Is that what Jerry said?
Yeah.
He was good brothering.
He was so good at doing interviews. And he was like, he wore a disguise. And in the final, they were like, yes, we choose you. And my brother actually took off his disguise. And he was like, guys, I am actually the brother. And it was Charlie.
By the way, if you really did that, that would have been the greatest
That's how we did
that. Would have been some Brando, De Niro shit.
That's how we did like the interviews on like how I got the part, which is absurd.
That's awesome.
But I remember doing Sliders and being there and everyone was like, as the tram went by, I don't know if you ever worked there, they'd be like, Jerry. And all of a sudden, like, you know, the tram goes by and people are taking pictures and this is for the TV show Sliders. And like now my shows are starting to air. And I remember like the third one's on. That's the third week that my show is aired. And finally you hear like, Jerry, Charlie.
That's so fucking cool.
Charlie. And I was so excited. And so the tram go over and I walked over to the tram and they were like, hey, can you get me Jerry's autograph?
Oh, God.
Working at Universal, which I absolutely loved.
It was, that must have been cool because I still like going. There's still like a kid in me. You know, we recently, well, it's almost a year now. We went to Disneyland recently, but I even like still going to Universal. Like the first place I went to when I moved out here, and it wasn't for any acting related thing. It was just because I had never been to Disneyland as a kid. I had never been to Universal. We just didn't go on that family trip. Mm-hmm. Literally, like, I landed, I settled in at my friend's place, so I stayed there for a month. The next day, I was on the Backlot Tour tram ride of Universal. The first place I went.
When I was a kid, my brother did a TV show, and I had to come out here, and all of a sudden, like, and I had to. Like, it was a torturous thing. He got. I think he was doing My Secret Identity or some other show when he was a kid. And we were here, and we were doing something at Universal, and we were staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Like, this is my tortured
BHH,
life.
BHH, wow.
And I got to meet Mr. T. I was like...
Oh, God, and this is in the 80s, like, obviously. This is Clubber Lang?
Yeah. This is just after that.
What did he say to you?
What did I say to him? I couldn't get anything out.
pity the fool?
I mean, what could you possibly say to Mr. T? And it was when, like, the cereal was great. Cartoon, and it was right after the WWF cartoon.
It was the height of his fame. A-Team's going on strong. B.A. Baracus. Oh,
and then Michael Knight was in the elevator with me and Jerry. I think we were at Universal and David Hasselhoff.
This is an all-one trip?
Yeah, and I only know I know Michael Knight. And I'm standing in the elevator.
So you're already looking at L.A. like the most magical place on the earth.
I'm in the elevator with my brother, and all of a sudden, Michael Knight comes in, and this is the greatest elevator ride I've ever seen. And my brother, being as cool as he was back then, picked up his Casio watch with the calculator and went, Kit, I'm in the elevator.
In front of David Hasselhoff.
Right in front of him. I was so like, oh my God, my brother just said like the, like, I didn't have the nerve. I'm starstruck.
Are you serious, bro?
Hey, Kit, I'm in the elevator. And just the three of us in the elevator.
What did he did he see it?
He looked down at us and he went.
Don't tell me he was angry.
Very funny.
Ah, boo!
The elevator went ding, and he walked out. No, he didn't break. Like he wasn't. He just
wasn't
went,
rude.
No. It wasn't rude.
It was like touche. Nice.
He went
one.
Like dry. He went dry on it, which funny. Was actually a great delivery.
Because you guys were kids at this point.
Oh my
children.
God! I was so first of all, I'm so starstruck. And then like my like you're saying like what'd you say to Mr. T? I was like I didn't have the ability to say
you
anything.
Couldn't speak.
What could you think? It'd be like meeting the Tooth Fairy or meeting Santa
Claus. Well,
because
I'm thinking, you know, we're close enough in age where it's like, I mean, me growing up.
I can't think of two bigger stars at the time.
Stallone.
Yeah.
That would maybe be the only other bit. I mean, that's really it. You got David Hasselhoff as Michael Knight. Mr. T is everything.
Maybe Arnold
Mr.
Schwarzenegger.
T.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of bigger
you go
at the time.
Stallone. Schwarzenegger.
No,
yeah.
No, you know, he was in the A team at that time. Well, Mr.
That's
T.
what
he
I
was
mean.
The
it was
A-team.
This
it was big,
but
as big as
the
it gets.
Height.
Yeah. This, as big as it gets.
No, that's it. So you literally at a young age must have thought LA is the most magical place where anyone could be anywhere at any time.
I don't know. I think I was also like you, and I know you had this in you that I was a New Yorker.
You're almost like, what's the catch?
I wasn't even planning on moving here when I moved here to say goodbye to my brother, and all of a sudden I was in Sliders. I was planning on just visiting here. I was sleeping on his couch. I was planning on saying goodbye to him. And
this is before your trip to Asia to model.
The first 4 years I lived here, I was just visiting. You know, bars closed at 2. That was unacceptable for me. Any place that bars closed at 2, I'm just visiting.
So when you're now in year 2, you're still just visiting, like...
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I loved being on Sliders. My brother started directing them, and he did a real good job directing. And I got to
go back and watch that show.
I was one
man.
Of the four, and I remember him directing like his first episode, and somehow like it turned into like Charlie Does All Stunts. Don't worry about
like
it.
Himself.
He's the young kid. Like, they're over it. And I remember him directing one that I'm on like the a third story side of a building. And he was like, Charlie doesn't need a net. It was like,
wait
just
a second.
Well, he's directing, you know?
But you're not
about
jumping
the,
off the building, but you're on the building.
No, I'm just walking from one thing to the other, and the side's about 3 feet high, and he was like, Charlie won't fall. It'll be, we're going to save on budget there.
Now, you could look at that two ways. You could look at that like, one, he's kidding.
I came in under budget. I didn't fall.
Or you could look at that like, oh, I got Charlie is not gonna fall. He's not gonna ruin my fucking budget.
Well, he knew when he just started directing, he knew how to keep it low. And it definitely came
how
low.
How old is he directing?
I don't know.
He's legal. He's over 18 at this point because you're
well,
yeah.
I was 21, so he's,
oh, so he's
22,
in his mid
20, 22.
God, so young to die. I still think back to like when I was 21, 22, and I had like maybe done like an episode of King of Queens or whatever, but like to actually be like going to work every day like you were like on I don't think I would have been able to I'm glad in a way it, even though it felt painfully long waiting till I was like 25 till it happened like I don't know at 21 if I would have really
yeah I mean, he's been doing it since he was like I mean Stand By Me day so he was 10
yeah just but even you dude, was that not an adjustment like because it's such a here's how I look I've never ever claimed that like
well since the Shadow days I should say you've seen those.
We'll talk later about Charlie's short films that Jerry directed. This is not the first time you've worked with Jerry as director. Jerry's directing you in one of your best roles ever, Shadow, when you were, what, 13?
Yeah, I was probably even younger than that. I don't know.
See, but that's what I love about stories like this. Like, it's not just, like, you and your brother, like, you guys wanted to, like, just become actors because you wanted all the fast shit that came with it. Like, you guys were making home movies in your early teens back in New York with your parents' equipment.
Oh, back when editing was you had to count the 3 seconds on the VCR tape. You know, like, when you pushed record, it would go back 3 seconds. And we started by making animated Gumbies. And next thing you know, we made this Hitman thing as me as the Shadow. And it was, we made a lot of, we've lost more than we found on those.
Can I you know, we're launching the official website, and I would like to, like, put some, you know, once we put this episode up, can I maybe figure out how inexpensive it is to take some of the shadow footage?
Yeah, definitely.
And import it into the computer, and maybe...
I think it's important to see my brother's directing debut.
See if it's all right with him, and if it's all right with you, I want to air some of the shadow footage on the website.
There's credits there that we rolled up in toilet paper at the end of them, so there's credits at the end of the movie, and you'll see my brother actually has all the credits on the thing, so we would have to check with him.
Written by, directed by, produced by, music by, costume by.
See the whole thing. We'll have to clear it with him.
You only had one. You only had one credit. Starring. That was it.
That was it.
Oh God, it's such a, like, we had this idea, and I don't even know if I should say it on the podcast because someone might steal it, but we still should do it. Like, there's something. So, I don't know. At least I get inspired by, like, younger kids. Like, you always hear the story about Spielberg when he was a kid. He was making, you know, 8mm war films in his dad's backyard. Like, I think, and look, I only ended up in acting because I just loved movies and TV. It wasn't like I was this artistic kid that's like, I want to be an actor. I just, like, I want to be involved with movies and TV because that's the stuff I like to watch.
No, I believe me, I got involved in acting because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, I could have easily have been an editor and been completely happy.
Yeah, well, I could have been a fisherman, which I am now.
Which you are now.
Or a carpenter, I don't know. But so that was Sliders.
And then, so now you're 4 years into L.A. and you can now officially say, okay, I lived here. I moved to L.A. after a four-year vacation.
I did a movie called Dude, Where's My Car? And a few other things like that. And so next thing you know, I'm officially here. And
did you even, like, go back to New York to, like, get your stuff and say goodbye?
Well, I used to always go to... Yeah, you know, I'm still one of those kids that that I still have a summer mentality. And that's, right. You know, it's like I usually try to take summers off and go back to Montauk.
Go somewhere.
And then... And well, that's my favorite place to do it. So I'm back in Montauk for the summer usually, and so that was it. I just disappear for those 2 months, if possible, if not three, and then sometimes four, and now it's turned into six. But it's that's sort of how it. I don't know why it's ended up like that, but I still have a school mentality.
It's actually a great way to think about it because especially
my mom was a teacher. She had summers off, so I think that was probably like it got stuck with me that it was like. You know, believe me, I'm not a teacher, but I still like time off.
And it also does help to kind of get away from L.A. in the summer. Like, because, you know, L.A. doesn't really have seasons at all. It's either, like, hot or, like, not that hot. There's no, obviously, no fall, no spring, really, of note. So, like, to actually go somewhere, I feel like that's the best way to feel a season change. Like, I leave, so when I come back to L.A., it won't be summer. Right. And then you actually could enjoy the warm weather when you come back.
I'm always excited to come back to L.A.
Yes, good. So at what point then, so The Bachelor comes around.
Right.
And is that something like where they knew they wanted you and they kind of built it around you? Or like, did you have to go, you know, do you audition for Bachelor?
No,
or
I went out a lot. Like, let's get some straight.
You were a young man.
A
you were a young man. You were feeling yourself.
Young man. Yeah. I drink a lot. I go out somewhere about 6.5 days a week. I'm out at bars in Los Angeles. And back then, basically, I woke up hungover one day and my brother was friends with some of the producers and said, what do you think about being the next Bachelor? And like, I like didn't even watch the show before that.
Right.
I think I went on one date that a girl made me watch the show.
Come over, we'll cook and watch The Bachelor. Yeah.
And I was like, well, that sounds weird. But then it was like a what if kind of thing, or it was like it was the seed was planted and then I met them.
It's not even like they're saying, hey, come do this.
I said, all right, well, I'll go meet them.
It's a giant show.
But when I met them, they were like, hey, come, what do you mean come meet us? Why don't you just come meet 25 girls, you know, and we're going to talk to you and we're going to pick them out for you. And I was like, well, this is hard. Like you guys.
It got better and better by the day.
You guys are making it sound like I'm weird to say no.
Right.
And then from there, I guess I ended up saying, yeah, I guess I'll swing at this.
It's a lot more work though than you like. You watch it on TV, and look, I've actually never seen your season. I've only seen a couple of seasons of the show. I do think there's something so fascinating. It's like a great sociological experiment. But it looks like so much fun. It looks like it could be stressful. But like, I got to imagine it's long hours.
They film you from brushing your teeth in the morning to brushing
your
teeth to taking a crap to brushing your teeth.
You're never alone
when you're the one person.
You're never alone.
Yeah, when you're the one person, or at least that's how it was with me. And I'm sure every season's different. There's different producers on it now than was on it then.
Your season, we're only talking.
So the only thing I could talk about is my season. Right. And that's one of the things, is that I'm sure a lot of people are more being able to be manipulated by the producers. And the producers always think they're more clever than the person. You know what I mean? But what I didn't realize, and I was so naive then, is that the producer's job is not to find me a girl. When I signed up for the show, my job is to find me a girl. Their job is to create drama.
Content. Entertaining content.
Their job is to create drama. And it was like one girl, you know, one girl was just like, I had two dates to go on in these 2 days. You know, and we're down to somewhere near the end-ish, like let's say 8 girls or 4 girls or something like that. And back then I was just not clever enough to put two and two together. But in hindsight, I could, you know, I could see it. Because when you're in the bubble of doing it, you're just thinking like, why? One girl was terrified of horses, and one girl was claustrophobic. And okay. So the 2 dates we
sounds
went
like
on,
the beginning to a joke.
The 2 dates we went on were horseback riding
and an elevator and, ride, hot air balloon,
and underwater. We were scuba diving. So they put the claustrophobic girl I'm on a scuba diving date with, and the girl that's terrified of horses because she got kicked as a kid, I'm on a horse date with her. And I'm thinking like, why couldn't you just switch that around, guys? Like, if I was planning the date, I would have just switched that around.
So you're looking at it like, why are you making me go on these shitty dates? Yeah. Like, for them, and they're looking at it like, oh, we planned the perfect high drama.
Yo, as a kid, I worked on a ranch. You're telling me I'm going horseback riding. I want to go ride a horse. Right. I don't want to talk to you about, like, if you're scared of horses, I got an idea. Let's not ride horses. Let's go to the bar. Let's go make out.
There's many other things that we could do besides horseback ride. I'm going to check on mics for a second. I should also point out, and we'll get right back to it, Bree is usually here. Bree could not make it today. Bree's usually running all the technology here. So I'm a little nervous. I am running the technology. I'm running the mics and all this. So I'm hoping that we have sound when we're done.
This might work out or not.
So getting back to it. So you got these 2 dates with a girl with a fear of horses going horseback riding. A girl who is claustrophobic is going to be scuba diving. And you're like, wow, how am I supposed to connect or have fun on these dates when you send me with these girls who don't want to be on these dates?
Yeah, I've got a 4-hour date here to meet a girl that supposedly at the end of the show I'm planning on proposing to, or at least giving it a shot, or at least saying like, hey, come in, move in with me. And you're giving me these options to figure out if I like them or not. Like, help me out, guys.
But you know, now when you think about looking back, it's like, oh, that was perfect. Well, what, now for makes, TV, that
for
was perfect.
For TV, it makes perfect sense on the way that
for
they
your
choose
life, it. Not I
mean,
so
say,
good.
In the horseback thing, one of the cameramen got thrown from the horse. I mean, they don't pick big budget horses either. You know what I mean? They were going to any place that's free. So they got horses that are throwing people off, and all they got is English saddles. And I worked on a ranch as a kid, so my horse tried to buck me 3 times, and I ran off with it. Slapping the thing, you know, getting it so I didn't get thrown off. One cameraman broke a hand.
Oh, jeez.
And another guy almost got trampled.
How did scuba diving go?
Scuba diving was a little better because the one thing in scuba diving is that at least in the paranoia of the thing, we didn't have to discuss it because we're both underwater. And then when we got up, all we had to discuss is, I can't believe that I did that. You know, she was like, I can't believe I did that. It was a positive experience after doing it.
So she was kind of alone with her fears once you went underwater.
Yes. Once you went underwater, I just had to make a couple hand gestures that I cared. And and she, you know, passed her fear. So we were all very proud of her.
Looking back on it now,
I mean, thank God we didn't go on a date as a spelling bee, because then I would have been terrified.
I guess if it was The Bachelorette,
yeah,
and you were a contestant,
and I was one of the contestants, it would be like, now we're going to have a spelling bee.
Now we're gonna go to PS 176, and we are gonna have a giant spelling bee. And Charlie, you go first.
Charlie, prestidigitation.
Oh man! So the 2 things I'm gonna find, I am gonna try, and Amazon's my new obsession. I know we share this Amazon.
Oh, I love Amazon.
I'm new to the whole Amazon thing. I never was big into buying anything online. I guess that's like my age catching up with technology. Like, I still would go to the store to buy shit, but man, am I into the one click buy now
stuff.
Well,
the 2 things that I love about Amazon is, A, once I get on it, I start buying things, and I buy things and packages come and they come and they come. And all of a sudden, as I like to call it, Chinica comes, and I have 8 days of boxes coming to my
from
house.
Amazon.
Yeah,
only.
From Amazon. And you can really have your own holiday once you go on there. I'm talking about toilet paper. Well, I mean, it's not like big gifts.
The other thing, too, is they really get to know you. What you like. They're suggested for you.
They suggest for me, right.
Oh, they read me. They just know.
I get deodorant. I get toilet paper. I get all things that like wouldn't normally make you excited, but it comes in a box, and it's a gift.
I wonder if... Maybe I should look. I want to see if I could get Sliders on Amazon. Wouldn't that be cool if Sliders was on Amazon?
Yeah. And if not, I'm sure my mom has it.
If not, can I call your mom and get Sliders? Because yes. I would like to... You know what it is? I watched every episode. I was kind of young, and it's like one of those things. Like I can't remember. I was telling you off the air. I can't remember exact episodes, but I remember moments. And I feel like if I watch it, it'll come right back to me. I'm trying to see if it's on Amazon. But anyway, looking back at you happy you did Bachelor? Like you look at it like a positive experience.
I don't regret it. You know, I guess the thing that I said is I dated the girl for 5 years that was on it, and that's a long run in a show like that because most people don't last 2 days. So it is what it is, you know?
I'm trying to see. I don't even know if I spelled Sliders correctly. Sliders.
Do you want me to spell it for you?
And Charlie, see if it's right. Spell Sliders.
S-L-I-D-E-R-S.
Boom! Got it. First and second seasons, $40.
Huh.
What season do you come in?
I think 3 or 4.
Well, that's... there's Sliders season 4. Are you on the... Hold on. I think I see you on the box.
Yeah, I think 4.
And there's 4 and 5. I don't see anything for 3. All right, there's 3. All right, I'm going to buy them all. I'm going to watch them all. And also, Jonathan Rhys Davis.
Jonathan Davis.
Good actor. God, that's a good show. And didn't it move to Vancouver at one point?
It moved to Vancouver before I was on it. And I remember visiting my brother in Vancouver.
Oh, so they went from Vancouver to Universal.
They went Vancouver to Universal. And then I joined it when I was at Universal. Timing's everything.
So you only visited, but you weren't working up there in Vancouver.
No, I went to Vancouver. I stayed at my brother's place. He was staying
Vancouver's
in a really cool
nice
place.
City. I really like
and
Vancouver.
And we went to a Vancouver game, and the Vancouver Grizzlies were living in the same hotel my brother was.
Damon Stoudemire.
And I was there the night they beat Pat Riley after he just left the Knicks.
Oh, wait. Damon Stoudemire was a Toronto Raptor. Big country. Bryant Reeves.
I think Pat Riley left the Knicks to go to
Miami.
And all of a sudden, they were playing Miami that night, and they did not win many games.
No, the Grizzlies were not a good team.
No, and they beat Pat Riley that night. And we were screaming. Me and my friend Dan were sitting there. We're screaming, and everyone behind us, because they were new to basketball, were telling us to sit down. They can't see. And we were like, you're about to win your 8th game, you know.
It's weird that they don't have that team in NBA 2K. Imagine if you would look at them. Real quick, I know we've jumped all over the place. We've talked Bachelor. We've talked Sliders. We've mainly talked video games. I'm just going to give you just how well we know each other. I'm going to give you Charlie's, these are not legends, but I'm going to give you, his 5 favorite players that he scouted that are not, marquee name players that he likes to draft and use. Shane Battier is one of his all-time favorites because in the game, Shane Battier from corner 3, lights out. Steve Novak, who we mentioned earlier, who is overall his rankings 57. You could literally draft him with the last pick. He somehow always makes Charlie's starting lineup. Can't leave him open. Those other names I'm thinking of are real mark. Chuck Person.
Penny Hardaway.
Chuck Person, the rifleman. Mm-hmm. You shoot real well. Penny Hardaway, who is a marquee name in that game. He's probably, after Magic, he might be the best point guard because he just dunks on everyone.
Defensively and...
And we usually fight over these 3 names. These are shared names. Drazen Petrovic,
mm-hmm.
Del Curry,
mm-hmm.
Dennis Scott.
Yeah.
Because just like in Madden and in fantasy football, I say Charlie's like the Al Davis of fantasy football. Charlie loves threes. Charlie loves speed.
Wallace. Which Wallace was it?
You like young Gerald Wallace. Young they have Gerald young 18-year-old straight out of high school Gerald Wallace in the game who cannot shoot a lick, but man, can he dunk.
Defensively and dunk. He changes games when he
so
comes in.
In Madden,
he's a lockdown defender.
In Madden, Charlie only likes speed.
Only speed.
And in NBA, he really only loves... he's more
stealing
balanced.
Stealing, shooting, dunking.
He likes threes. You like threes.
And stealing. Stealing's important for me.
We don't talk defense on this podcast. We don't talk defense like that wins you championships.
Scottie Pippen, too.
But you do scout your fantasy football through Madden, right?
Yeah. Xbox One or Xbox 360 that I had before, that is definitely how I only scout my fantasy football players. and it's how I play with them in the game that makes me like them. You know, that's it. That's it. Chris Johnson, speed. It's all speed.
I'm glad you're back in fantasy. I think we should do, and I think we could test this out. I don't know if it's going to be great, but we could test out, you know, because I'm loving all this podcast stuff. When you come back, whenever that might be, we're going to get right back into our NBA 2K. I think we need to start taking some photos of like our stats and us playing, but just so like our rosters, our post-game stats, maybe we do like a 10-minute podcast where we recap a game. I don't think we could do an hour on it.
We'll see what we can get out of it. But I mean, you know, like the greatest thing
we
about
we certainly
this,
spend a lot of
I
time
think
talking
about
it.
That kind of stuff is that it's like closet stuff. You know what I mean? Like here's something that we are such dorks on it or mad geniuses or whatever you want to call it. The amount of time that we spent doing it that hopefully we can reach out and touch a few more people that play it the way we do. And maybe then we can figure it out from there.
Well,
because it's like crazy video gamers like that need to stick together.
That's the other thing. I would like to ask everyone who follows us at B4B Podcast and everyone who's like on Twitter, if you are relating to this, you need to follow Charlie for sure on Twitter.
You need
Twitter.
To let us know because we like to play with people that play like
oh,
that.
Well, our ultimate thing that we've talked about that I don't ever know if we could set up is to basically get, what are there, 32 teams in the NBA?
Yeah.
Is to basically get 32 people who play. So we could draft a 32-team league and play it. Now, I know you could probably do this online. Maybe
they have it online, but it's not as personal.
It's not as fun as being next to it. Kind of like the Madden bus. You know how they do the Madden bus?
No, yeah.
We need to do like the 2K bus.
We also talk about doing it with NBA players because, you know, they all play it.
Oh, you know they, yes, we could definitely
they all
get a
play
couple
it, and I respect your game, and I know you respect mine, and I'd like to see how they hold up.
Well, that's the other thing is we are such nerd dorks with this, and we do it, we put in so many hours that, like, we kind of think that we're the only ones who do this. That's why I want people to hit us if they do, because I feel like if I'm not the best player at this in the world, then you're the best.
When you meet someone and they're like, hey, I play a lot of basketball, NBA 2K. You know, yeah, I'm really, really good. Do you think to yourself, kid, I'm about to bitch slap you in this thing?
Well, here's what I do. It turns into white man can't jump for me. I went to a friend's house and he has like this whole screening room set up and I literally walked in and they're gamers, but they're not sports gamers. I walk in and they're playing our version of 2K. This is a year ago, so it's probably 2K13. And one kid's smacking the other kid around, like just blowing him out by 20. I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are playing. They're like, you play? I'm like, yeah, I play a little bit. And I just found myself doing the Woody Harrelson and White Man Can't Jump. Like, I didn't want to be like, yeah, try me, motherfucker.
No.
I play a little bit. It's fun. It's a good game. And I'm like, I play next? They're like, yeah, sure. And we're picking teams. I think I picked the Bucks. He's like, you don't pick the Bucks? I'm like, yeah, I don't know what. They're pretty good, right? He picks the Brooklyn Nets. And I mean, I was up by 32 points, and we're only playing 5-minute quarters. I was up by 32 after the first quarter. He was like, how are you? What are you?
I normally say things like, is X shoot?
Oh, no. But
what
dude,
shoot?
And I started doing like some of the old cheap stuff that you and I know how to do, like stealing
inbound,
the inbound.
Like inbound.
The meltdown he was having trying to inbound the ball was amazing. It was amazing. So for those of you listening, please hit us on Twitter. We'd love to maybe one day, maybe we could even get someone to pay for this. Like we could do a Madden type thing, fly some people out, do it on a big screen and make like a little an internet show out of it. I got to imagine we could do that.
I mean, it sounds like a dream come true.
You host it, I'll commissioner it or vice versa.
But the only thing important is playing too.
And there's just no way I'm not a one seed.
I don't care what seed I am.
Well, listen, I know I made you do a lot of podcasting today. I'm glad that your first podcast is on here. We're about to cross the hour mark, and I still will intro you. Just get back from fishing soon. I know you love it, and nothing makes me happier than seeing one of my good friends doing something that they love. And I know you love it, and I know you see things through. So I always selfishly try to get you back early, tell you you need a vacation, tell you to not do it so much, but I'm glad you're doing something that you love. But that being said, come back soon.
Well, thanks for having me, and I love talking video games, and I don't mind reminiscing about the other stuff.
This is either going to be the highest rated episode ever, and we're going to really tap into the gamer culture, or we might lose some subscriptions. Some people are going to turn off after the first 8 minutes, but no one can say that we don't know what we're talking about.
No one can say that we don't enjoy talking about it.
God, well, I thank you, and I look forward to our next matchup, old friend.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you guys for listening, and like my mom always says, bad for business was good for business tonight.
When you see me rolling by, you know that I'll be high.
For business.